Got a question for you. And I hope this is up to date, but do you know who holds the NFL record for rushing yards in a career? You? Who? You? He played for the Dallas Cowboys, and he carried the ball for 14 seasons in the NFL. Emmitt Smith. He rushed for 18,355 yards. So the question is, how did he do it? He did it 4.3 yards at a time. That was his average of him carrying the ball. So how did he do it? I mean, he'd run 4.3 yards, get tackled, then he'd do what? He'd get up and he'd do it again. Over and over. That's how he now still holds the record. And that's what I want to encourage all of y'all here today to do in your own life, is to get up and to go for it. How many times have you started something and you got discouraged and you quit? Or somebody criticized the way you were doing something, so it just discouraged you. Or maybe you messed up or you were afraid of doing something. In Galatians chapter 6, it tells us, don't grow weary of doing good, for in due season you'll reap what you sow if you don't quit, if you don't give up. Coca-Cola, during the first year of Coca-Cola, they sold 400 bottles of Coke in a whole year. They can do that in 10 minutes now, okay? But now that Coca-Cola is everywhere on the earth, somebody said you could go to Africa and couldn't find any water, but you could go find a Coke there. NBA basketball player Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. Okay? This is something that he said. He says, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost over 300 games. 26 times, his teammates would pass him the ball to make the game-winning shot, and 26 times he missed. He said that he has failed over and over and over again. But he kept trying. He got up, and now he's considered still to be one of the greatest basketball players in history. Babe Ruth. He held the record for the most strikeouts. But then he went on to hold the record for the most home runs. Why? Because he kept swinging. He didn't stop. He didn't give up. He didn't let the world discourage him. So I hope we can do that in our life. If you got your Bible with you this morning, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. I'll give you a minute to look that up. The translation that I'm reading out of may be different from yours. Mine is the New Living Translation, so bear with me. Let's look at verses 1 through 5 together. It says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a lame man from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could beg from the people that were going into the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter asked, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for life, and God, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I just pray that you will illuminate these verses this morning. God, I pray that you'll help us to understand you better and what you've done for us. And God, not only that, but help us to be the young man or the young lady that you want us to be. God, you didn't create us to be failures, but you created us to be successful. So God, may we today realize that we need to get up and we need to go. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Jews and Gentiles back in the day, if they believed in God, they would go to the temple 3 times a day. Now, I don't know about you, but to come here 3 times a day would be very difficult. I mean, for me to have to see some of y'all twice on Sunday is hard enough as it is. I ain't going to say no names. One back there, okay. But, I mean, we understand that we can't come to this place 3 times a day to pray. But one thing, if we have not realized it or not, is any time you want to come into the presence of God and pray, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, God is available for you. And He wants to listen to our prayers. He wants to find out what it is you need. And of course, it's so easy for us to go to God in need, when there's a time of need, or when we want something. Sure, it's easy to pray to Him then. But He also wants to know about the things that you like. He wants to know about the things that you dislike. He wants to know about those things that are dear to your heart that you love. And God wants to know about the things that you hate, the things that make you mad, the things that make you want to just get so mad that you may say some things that you shouldn't say or do some things that you shouldn't do. In your anger, God wants to hear the things that make you mad. But what do we do so many times? I really feel that Satan, whenever we do something wrong or we sin, it just puts a big old smile on his face. He loves it when we let ourselves down. He loves it when we let God down. So are you putting a smile on Satan's face when you get angry, or are you taking that to God? Because He's the only one that's going to be able to help you with it. I mean, we talk about anger management. The best anger management there is when you manage to turn it over to God. He can help you with it. No matter how big or small your problems in life that you have, He can handle it. But this is the thing that we must do. If we're going to let God handle it, that means we've got to give it to Him. I mean, I'm talking, we can pray about it, but truly give it to Him. And say, God, I can't handle this. I'm going to turn it over to You, and it's Yours. He will provide. He will comfort. And He will give you power to take care of those issues that you have in your life. Let's look at verse 2. As they approached the temple, a lame man from birth was being carried in. Think about it. Lame from birth. Okay? Was we not, all of us in this church this morning, wasn't we all born into a sinful world? And didn't we also born with a sinful nature? I'm going to flip over here real quick to Ephesians chapter 2. It says that we were once dead, doomed forever because of our sins. Verse 3, it says that we were following our passions and desires of our evil nature. And we were born with an evil nature. So we're no different than this lame man because we are all born, we're born lame. Lame meaning imperfect, defective, unsound, weak. We're no different than this lame person. Either you're lame now, you're imperfect now, or you once was. Okay? So, lame, lost, and searching was what this person was doing. And he was searching for something. He didn't really even... he knew that he was searching for something, but he didn't really know exactly what it was he was searching for. He hadn't quite got a grip on that thing in his life that he needed. Let me ask you something this morning. Is God dealing with your heart today? Is there something missing in your life? Now, think back with me. I know we're still in this year, but think about this, the past year, and what's took place in your life. Are you satisfied with this past year? Are you happy with the way it went, or do you want it to be better this new year? I hope you're not satisfied with this past year. I hope it went great for you, but I hope you're not satisfied with the way it is. I hope your walk with God, I hope you're not satisfied with that, because there's bigger and greater and higher levels with the Lord. So don't ever, just don't be content with what God has done for you, but know that God says, you know, there's more. There's more for you. From the age of accountability, okay? And a lot of people have different ages of accountability. But at the age of accountability, to this moment, to this time, to this hour in your life right now, you're going to have an opportunity to put to death the lame man in your life and to be reborn. God does not want you to go through life imperfect, defective, unsound, weak. He don't want you to go through life that way. He wants you to be complete. And the only way that a person can be complete is with the help of Jesus Christ. Jesus, He wants you to be reborn. Speaking of Jesus, it tells that the world, even His own land, among His own people, whenever Jesus first came onto the scene, they didn't recognize Him. Look, as a church, as Christians here, let me tell you, I'm not perfect. Our pastor's not perfect. Our deacons are not perfect. Our Sunday school teachers are not perfect. But we have realized that we need the help of God. We need His forgiveness. And we have accepted that. So, if you're here this morning and you're lost without Jesus, we want to make sure that we're pointing you to Christ. We want to make sure that we're pointing you to His unfailing, His faithful love, and His forgiveness. You don't have to live life with all the sins that you've done on your shoulders. God says that He offers forgiveness. We need to recognize, accept, and follow Christ in our life. One thing that we do is too many times we run. We run away from the very things that we need the most. We run away from God. We run away from His love. Let me just tell you, it's time to stop. It's time to stop and let God put His loving arms around you and realize just how awesome He is. The second part of verse 2 also says that He was carried in. This lame man was carried into the gate every day. He was persistent, and those friends in his life was also persistent. If you're a Christian here this morning, somebody carried you to the gate. It may have been a parent. It may have been a pastor. Somebody, if you're a Christian, somebody carried you to the gate. May have been a prayer warrior on their knees praying for you when you were living in sin. Somebody simply inviting you to church. Somebody carried you to the gate. Maybe somebody had the boldness to sit down with you and ask you, hey, if you died today, do you know where you would spend eternity? Somebody carried you to the gate. Because the gate is not an object. The gate is a decision. And you're going to have to decide whether you're going to sit at the gate, lame, or if you're going to get up and go through the gate. Now I know you're thinking, well, this guy was lame. He couldn't actually go through the gate. Could he or could he not? Let's see. So we know the gate is more of a decision. So, are you at the gate? Are you at the gate this morning? I don't know what drew you here this morning, but you're at the gate. So let me ask you, what are you going to do now that you're at the gate? Now this lame beggar, he was also known to be very wise. Okay? He knew that the Jewish religion, if a Jewish religious person was to walk by a beggar and give them money, then that was considered to be very praiseworthy. So this lame beggar knew that, hey, if I want to get my cup full of some change, then I know exactly where I need to go to that gate. So he knew what he was doing. He was knowledgeable about where he was and what he was there for. So, but the thing is, he may have come to get his cup full of money, but the saying is, if you have a problem that money can't fix, then you really got a problem then. This lame man was lost without Jesus, and he had more than a financial problem. Think with me just for a moment. Picture a gate. Okay, it's not like a door. A door is something that's solid and you can't see through it. But a gate is something that you can look through and you can see what's on the other side of the gate. Okay? So in your life, you're at the gate, you see through the gate, and you see that there's something better on the other side. Okay. So, some people tend to think, because we get so discouraged, just like I mentioned at the very beginning, all these athletes and stuff that could have give up. You could be at the gate looking through and thinking, you know what? What's on the other side? I can't have that. What's on the other side? I can't reach that. I can't obtain that. That's maybe for the other Christians. That's for the other religion. That's for the other people. I can't have that. But let me tell you, the devil, he is a liar and he is a deceiver. And so many times he's got people thinking that, no, you can't. When Jesus is on the other side saying, yes, you can. Okay? And he wants you to have forgiveness. You say, well, some people can have forgiveness, but my sin is so much worse. You don't know what I've done in my life. You don't know the things that I've been caught up with. I can't have the forgiveness. Yes, you can. Jesus died for sin. No sin is bigger or sin is sin in his eyes. And he died for it all. Your sins he died for so that you can go to him and ask for forgiveness. So you can't have it. Maybe it's an addiction. And when I say addiction, there's a whole line of different addictions that a person can have. If you're addicted to something other than Jesus, then he wants to help you with that. Because he's a jealous God and he wants you to be addicted to him. Maybe it's a health issue. Okay? With the health issues, he wants to bring you hope. He wants to bring you love. He wants to give you an understanding that is beyond your comprehension. Or Jesus is still in the healing business. Or he wants to heal you. Does people get healed every time they're sick? Not necessarily. We ask for God's will to be done. What is best for this person, God, is what we want. If it's finances, God don't want you to be a slave to the banker, but He wants to give you that financial freedom, and you can have that with His help. If it's in relationships, whether it's a husband and wife or sons and daughters, you know, He wants your relationships to be what they ought to be. Maybe you're single and you're looking and you're trying to find that right person. The world may have you thinking that, hey, you know what? The right person is not out there for you. Just get what you can get. The devil wants to tell you, settle for less. Come on, take this guy, take this girl, you know, go out with them. Marry them. But God says, hey, don't settle for less. God has someone there for you. You pray, you seek God, and He'll bring that person to you. No matter what you're doing, don't settle for sitting at the gate. Verse 4 and 5, it says, Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said to this lame man, he says, look at me, or look at us. And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift. Now, I really feel that Peter and John here were definitely in line with the will of God. They were following Christ. And I really believe that whenever they looked at this lame beggar, when they looked at him intently, I truly believe that God was allowing them to really look into the heart of this lame man. And I believe as they looked at his heart, they seen that he was genuine and that he was a humble person. And you say, well, you know, it's real humble if you're lame and you can't really stand up and stuff. But this man's heart was humbled. Because when they looked at him and said, look at us, this lame man was sitting there and he wouldn't even look into the eyes of the people that he was begging to. So that's why they asked, look at us. You are worthy. I don't care if you are lame and crippled and you can't walk. Look up at us. We're no better than you are. Look up at us. And when he looked up, he was expecting to get a gift or to get some money. Okay? He got a gift, all right. And it was a whole lot more than what he was ever expecting. God, not Peter and John, but God did a miracle in this lame man's life. God did for him what no man can do. Now he looked up expecting. Think about this for a minute. Sadly, sometimes we come to church, we sing praises to God, we listen to the preaching, we pray, and we never expect God to do something. We come here to church because it's out of a habit or, you know, you feel like you have to come to church. And that's not the reason that we are to gather here. We are to gather here because we want to come expecting God to touch our lives. So, I hope that we can be more like this lame man, coming eagerly expecting to hear from God. Verse 6 says, and Peter said, you know, he was expecting the gift, but Peter said, I don't have any money for you, but what I'll give you is everything that I have. It says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. God knew what he came to the gate for. God knew that, you know, in his mind, he was coming to try to get some money. But God also knew in his heart that he wanted to give this person what he needed. This man needed to get up, and he needed to go. Where did he need to go? He needed to go through the gate. This is one thing about the gate. Nobody can carry you through the gate. That gate is a decision that only you can make. People can pray for you, and you can feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying that you need to accept Christ, but nobody can do it for you. Nobody is going to drag you through the gate. Nobody's going to push you through the gate. Nobody can pray you through the gate. They can pray you to it, but it's up to you to go through it. Shortly, you're going to have an opportunity this morning to get up and walk and accept this gift that Jesus has for you. And that gift is everlasting life in Him. Don't worry. A lot of people is real big on this, you know what, I'll go through that gate when I can understand things a little bit more. I'll go through that gate whenever, you know, I get to the point where I can let go of some of this stuff in my life that's got me, you know, caught up in. Or whenever I read the Bible through, I plan on reading the Bible through this next year. So once I read the Bible through and I can understand, then I'll go through the gate. Let us help you. As a church family, as born-again believers, we would love to help you in any way we can in trusting Jesus as your Savior. And that's what you got to do. You got to trust Him. You got to realize that you're imperfect and you're lost and that you need a Savior. That's what it takes to go through the gate. Knowledge will not take you through the gate. Okay? You don't have to know it all. You don't have to have your life right in order to go through that gate. Verse 7 and 8 says, when Peter took the lame man, then he took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankle bones were healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood to his feet, and began to walk. So this man was brought to the gate and he had an encounter, face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ. Jesus healed him. This year, this new year coming up, you may want it to be better. Maybe you need to invite and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Maybe you need, as a Christian, maybe your walk is not all that it should be with Christ. Whatever the case, Jesus is there to help you. I know a lot of you, you know, whether you like to admit it or not, back in your mind, you're thinking about New Year's resolutions. A lot of people hate New Year's resolutions. I hate them, you know. But let me tell you this. In making a New Year's resolution or making a commitment to God, don't leave Him out. Don't leave God out of your plans for this new year. Because when God is in something, when He's doing something, there's no doubt about it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be powerful. God's going to accomplish His purpose through you. The second part of verse 8 says, then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. This formerly lame man was completely healed. The Bible didn't say that, you know, he got up and he grabbed his crutches, or he grabbed his cane, or he limped in. No, when God does something, He does it completely. He was completely healed. The gate that you and I at times have been sitting at for so long, and the gate that is telling us, no, you can't have what others have. No, you can't do what others do. God says, Yes, you can. Whatever it is in your life that the devil is saying, no, you can't. God is saying, with my help, yes, you can. You can't do it on your own. So it's time for you and me to bust open the gate and to get up and to go. Do we not, Christians, do we not serve a God that is all-powerful, that is all-loving, a sovereign God that is in control of everything? If we believe that, then all things are possible through Christ who gives us strength. Don't let the devil keep lying to you. The gate here was called the beautiful gate. But it really wasn't the gate that was beautiful, but it was what is on the other side, what is through that gate that is beautiful. And that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. God never wants you to, He don't want you to sit lame outside the gate. He don't want you to be outside looking in. He wants you to choose Him. He wants you to choose to have a relationship with Jesus. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans that are for your good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." You're at the gate this morning. You're at the gate of decision. And I pray, my prayer is that you will choose Him. You can choose to be complete. I just ask for every head to be bowed just for a moment, and every eye closed. Think with me again, the gate. Think of your life, and spiritually speaking, where is your life? Do you have the relationship with Christ? Do you know without a doubt that if you was to die today, that you would spend eternity in heaven? Do you want God's help? Do you want to be complete? Father God, we do thank You and praise You again for Your Son Jesus who died on the cross for our sin. God, we don't have to live a life feeling defeated. But God, we can live a life of victory in the name of Jesus. And God, we just ask that if there's someone here today, Lord, that needs salvation, that needs to be saved, God, I pray that You give them the boldness to get up and to go. To come and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I believe that every heart of every person, that each one of us was born for a longing within our hearts and in our souls. And only Jesus Christ can feel that loneliness in our life. So God, I pray this morning that we will choose to follow You, choose to love You, choose a life complete this new year. Father, help us to be the person that You want us to be, that You created us to be.